From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, May 27th. Coming up, we'll take you to a place in central Illinois featuring peace and exposure to the Japanese culture for nearly 50 years. Go inside Japan House and hear from the man who created it. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The Department of Veterans Affairs held a Memorial Day ceremony at Danville National Cemetery yesterday. The ceremony drew several hundred attendees, some from out of state, to honor their veteran friends and family members. Tom Barnes emceed the ceremony. He says that while Memorial Day may just be a holiday weekend for some, it means much more to veterans and their families.
As you grow older, you get to know more veterans, you realize the importance of it. It's not a celebration holiday.
The ceremony included several speakers, a wreath laying, and a salute to the fallen by the American Legion Post 210. It closed with a performance by the Danville Municipal Band. Danville ceremony was one of more than 130 Memorial Day events held at national cemeteries across the U.S. A measure requiring stricter safety standards for warehouses has cleared the Illinois House. Alex Degman reports.
Democratic State Representative Katie Stewart started working on this after a tornado tore through an Amazon fulfillment center in Edwardsville.
We lost a young man named Clayton Cope, and his family have been tireless advocates. They're trying to do everything they can to protect every other family from going through the tragedy that they went through.
Six people died that night. The bill would do several things. First, warehouses would need site-specific safety plans that are shared with local emergency responders. Second, new builds would have new building standards, but existing structures would be grandfathered. Third, inspectors would need proper training on the new requirements. The measure now moves to the Senate. I'm Alex Degman.
Breastfeeding mothers would receive more workplace protections under a bill just approved by Illinois lawmakers. The measure from Democratic State Representative Katie Stewart requires employers to give paid time off to employees who need to express breast milk. Employees would get paid their regular rate and wouldn't have to use their own PTO. Stewart doesn't think this is a huge problem, but wants to make sure everyone gets what they need.
I believe many employers are already doing the right thing, and we just need to compel a few of them to make sure they are also supporting mothers and babies.
Governor J.B. Pritzker needs to sign the measure for it to become law. Illinois lawmakers have passed a measure to crack down on so-called rogue tow truck drivers. Alex Degman reports.
The Secretary of State's office could suspend registrations if tow truck drivers have unpaid tickets or fines. Operators could lose their licenses for 3 years if they lie on registration documents, and they couldn't place liens on personal property inside someone's car, like medicine, credit cards, or IDs. Democratic State Representative Will Davis is the sponsor. He says this is all an attempt to go after rogue, law-averse drivers that use police scanners to look for traffic crashes.
They show up on the scene of the accidents pretending, in some cases, to be sent by the insurance companies, when the reality that they are just there to hook up cars, take them away, but then hold them hostage.
Governor J.B. Pritzker needs to sign it for it to become law. I'm Alex Degman.
Still to come, we take you to a place in central Illinois featuring peace and exposure to the Japanese culture for nearly 50 years. Go inside Japan House and hear from the man who created it. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of a rain shower and a high of 72 degrees, with a northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of a light rain and a low of 55 degrees, northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of light rain and a high of 74 degrees, northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low of 52 degrees, north wind 5 miles per hour. And for Thursday, partly cloudy with a high of 75 degrees and a north wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, after enduring her parents' attempts to cure her of being transgender, Cheryl Weichel found her own way in life, becoming a lawyer and advocate based right here in Illinois. She chronicles that journey in her new memoir, I Was an Abomination. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The definition of Zen comes from a Japanese school of Buddhism, emphasizing the value of meditation and intuition. For nearly 50 years, there's been a place of Zen, peace, and exposure to the Japanese culture in Urbana. We're sharing stories from What We Brought, a limited series from Illinois Public Media exploring the Asian American experience in central Illinois. Today, IPM's Niti Shastri takes us to Japan House.
When you walk up to the Japan House on the southern tip of the university's campus, you're called to stroll through its twisting, winding paths that curve around through its gardens, filled with rustic stones, green bushes, and calming, tranquil water basins. Founded in 1976 by the late Shōzō Sato, the Japan House is a cultural touchstone of Champaign. As a learning facility and part of the College of Fine and Applied Arts, they offer university students the chance to learn and partake in traditional tea ceremonies, experience Japanese culture, and practice ikebana, a Japanese art style of flower arranging, all things Sensei Shōzō Sato had mastered in his lifetime. It wouldn't be right to showcase Asian Americans in central Illinois without bringing up the late, great Shōzō Sato. He died in 2025 at the age of 91, leaving a legacy of artistic accomplishments and cultural education in his wake. Born in 1933, his love for traditional Japanese art started at the age of 4, knowing he wanted to be an artist when he grew up. But in 1945, at the age of 11, he witnessed firsthand the horrors of war. Living in Osaka at the time, he watched as bombs fell from the sky upon the city and saw images of civilians suffering that stuck with him for the rest of his life. When his father, who was originally from Hiroshima, wanted to seek out any family who may have survived the first atomic bomb, Sato traveled back to the city with him, where they were met with nothing but rubble and ash. They camped in the ruins of Hiroshima for weeks after that, unknowingly being exposed to radiation from the bomb. He was dedicated to teaching students for a lifetime after learning that the radiation exposure he faced had impacted his ability to have kids. In an interview from 2021, he shares that these experiences in his early life inspired him to want to create something peaceful. And that's exactly what he did when he came to the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign, first as an artist in residence, and then as a professor. To learn more about his life, we have an archival Illinois Public Media interview by Illinois Pioneer host David Inge from 2014.
Konnichiwa.
Thank you very much for being with us.
This is a great honor to be back in this TV program.
I would just like to go back to the moment when you came to the campus, and I know that you had a school in Japan where you taught traditional Japanese arts. And someone who happened to be a professor here was there at the school and said to you, what would you think about coming and being artist in residence? And I think because as we had talked, you said, well, young people in Japan, they wanted to go to the United States. Yes, so you said, yes, and you came. But it must have been strange because at that time, I can't imagine there were very many Asian people on this campus, actually.
In fact, during 1964, there was quite few science Japanese faculty and in his family. But I was the first one in humanity programs. And so I walk campus, especially slightly off the campus. And then I had to pump gas for my car. And then people, Oriental walking. They're pointed. Even in Green Street, I remember. So I said, Oriental don't fly, we walk too. You know, that's what I keep saying. And so that's why I thought we have to reach out to the general public to inform about Asian culture. And that's the reason we created Original Japan House.
So when you sit with your brush, you're going to do calligraphy or going to paint, or maybe you're thinking about doing a flower arrangement, or is that a spiritual exercise for you?
Yes. while you are arranging flower, you think it's a beautiful line of branches, beautiful color and form of flowers, and how you combining, and then think of active empty space and this mass color combination. While you're thinking of creating something beautiful, you do not think any evil thoughts, any basic desires or any of that, just pure creativeness. And that's the way of art, is the way of Buddha. That's the way I often explain. If you concentrate on creative activities, 100% put yourself in, and you are Buddha at that moment. Because in this case, Buddha means total purity of your soul.
Sato spent the rest of his artist days in Northern California, but the Japan House carries on the Japanese traditions he fought to bring to America today. Stories of Fukushima, the Journey of Seiron Chiba, was an event that was part of the current Koge exhibit at the Japan House, a series that showcases the traditional arts and crafts of Fukushima. Koge literally translates to traditional arts and crafts, and the style includes things such as papier-mâché, woodworking, textile creation, or in the case of the event I attended, calligraphy. I spoke with Seiron Chiba herself, a calligraphy artist from Fukushima, Japan, after the show.
私は東京都出身で、2000年から福島県に移り住んで、現在は書道家として活動しています。
I was born in Tokyo in year 2000. I moved to the prefecture of Fukushima, and then I've been working as a professional calligrapher.
And do you mind telling us a little bit about your work? What connected you to Urbana-Champaign?
2012年に福島県で行われた芸術祭で、そこで大文字を書いていた時に、とある男性に声をかけられて、福島県から、イリノイに一緒に行きませんかと言われたことがきっかけです。
So the very beginning was 2012, 1 year after the disaster. She was at an art festival in Fukushima, and an older gentleman happened to be an acquaintance of the professor emeritus, Gunji Kimiko, and he actually approached her, and he said,Why don't we go to Illinois, America, next year? That's how it all started.
The disaster they're referring to was partially the center of Chiba's exhibit. It was the Great East Japan Earthquake, a 9.0 magnitude earthquake, one of the most powerful in Japan's history. It struck near the northeast coast back in 2011.Following the earthquake was a massive tsunami that caused widespread destruction and set off a severe accident at a Fukushima nuclear power plant. In response to that disaster, Chiba taught calligraphy to adults and children living in temporary housing to help raise their spirits.
That was IPM's Niti Shastri with a reflection of Japan House. The Cultural Center is located at 2000 South Lincoln Avenue in Urbana. You can find the full podcast episode online at will.illinois.edu. That's it for today. 2 in 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Sam Brink, Alex Degman, and Niti Shastri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 in 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.